Morning. At today's daf in Shavuos and Chafav, we are on the top of the Amud. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, headline from the Mishnah. We're going to continue from where we left off. Thanks, Stu, for covering for me while I was up in the middle of the state. Today, we start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah brought down a machlokes in Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Akiva. At this point in the Masechta, we're all too familiar with this machlokes, we should be, as to whether or not the carbon olah v'yarid is going to be brought by an individual who violates a shvua that's going on in the future, or does it also include a shvua that's going on in the past as well? So as we have seen already a number of times, Rabbi Shimon said that a carbon olah v'yarid is only eligible when the person violates a shvua that he makes lehaba, only for the future. As opposed to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says, no, a person is going to be chayv a carbon olah v'yarid if it's a violation of the a shvua for the future, a shvua for the past as well. Now, as we pointed out already a number of times, but as long as we're here, let's take stock of the differences between a shvua in the future and the shvua in the past. I mean, what I'm going to say is pretty obvious, but as you'll see, it becomes essential over the course of today's daf. When I'm making a shvua in the future, so obviously the shvua itself isn't the problem. The shvua is fine. In other words, I'm just simply committing myself to either doing something or not doing something. La relativ. So, and as we already learned before, it doesn't have to be something consequential. It doesn't have to be something bad or good. It could be even something neutral. But, in other words, I make a shvua about something that I'm going to do or not do in the future. So the shvua is not the problem. But the problem, of course, comes later on when I do an action that go against what I said I was going to do. So a shvua lahaba, the key element over here in terms of the karban is not so much on the shvua, but of course it's on the fact that I violated the shvua at a later point in time. Okay, as opposed to a shvua l'shaavar, which is basically, what's the problem? The problem is what I'm saying. What I'm saying is factually incorrect. I ate a loaf of bread, right? I ate the cookie. Why not? So I ate the cookie. And then I get cross-examined by members of the family. Did you eat the cookie? I said, no, of course not. What are you talking about? I didn't eat the cookie, and I make a shvua that I didn't eat the cookie. So there, really now what becomes the problem is not what I did and what I didn't do, obviously, but that's the issue. But in other words, but really now the carbon's coming for the actual declaration that I'm making. So that is a shvua l'sha'avar. So according to Rabbi Kiva, under both circumstances, if I'm a shogeg in either one of them, so I'm going to bring a carbon olah v'yarid. Carbon olah v'yarid is just another form of a carbon chatos, a special carbon chatos, as we've discussed already since the beginning of the Masechta. You think about the difference between these two. What I'm about to ask is really the Gemara's question coming up later this morning, but just a little bit of foreshadowing. If you think about the difference between the two, it's much easier to construct a case of shogeg as it relates to a future than a shogeg in the case of the past. Meaning in the future, what's my shogeg? It's very simple. I forgot I made a shvua. Meaning I made a shvua that I was going to eat a loaf of bread and I didn't eat it. Or conversely, I made a shvua that I wasn't going to eat the loaf of bread and I ate it. So the shogeg is very simple. As I'm enjoying the loaf of bread, I totally forgot I made a shvua. Okay, that's fine. Meaning it's easy to construct a case of shogeg. In the case of the past, what's a case of shogeg? Well, that's very strange. Do I know I'm lying right now? If I know I'm lying right now, that's not shogeg, that's mazid. And if I'm totally unaware of the fact that I'm lying right now, meaning I legitimately thought that I didn't eat the cookie, for whatever, who knows? Somehow I convinced myself I didn't eat the cookie. Is that a case of shogeg? It's not so much a case of shogeg. In other words, I think what I'm doing right now is good. I think what I'm doing right now is correct. It's not because I think I'm sinning right now. I forgot about the sin. I really think what I'm saying is correct. That's not shogeg. That's onis. So what we're going to struggle with a little bit later on this morning is not understanding the basic difference between a shvua l'haba versus a shvua l'sha'avar. What's the case of shogeg for l'sha'avar? Stay tuned. We're going to be discussing that later on this morning. So first things first, what Gemara is going to do is basically take us through the drashas. How does Rabbi Yishmael darshan the pasuk? How does Rabbi Kiva darshan the pasukim? Tana rabbanan. La rau leitiv ein li'elad varm sheish ba'am harav atav. Sheim ba'am harav atav minayin. How do I know that even if it's not something which is positive or negative, something which has very little consequence, like, for example, we saw back in the Mishnah, throwing a stone into a lake, it's totally inconsequential. But I say, I make a shvua, I'm going to do it, or I'm not going to do it. How do I know that there's going to be a carbon olah v'yarid if a person violates such a shvua? Shein ba'am harav atav v'minayin tamalomer o nefesh ki sishava levateh b'sfasayim. So the Torah says the person makes a declarative statement. Doesn't matter what the declarative statement is. It is simply a declarative statement. And how about How about Shavuos for the past? Because the Torah says lehara oleitiv, which is for the future. How do I know that it also comes to include the past as well? So for that, the Torah says kol asher yivate, any declarative statement, and that is obviously a ribui to include the past as well. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, ad kan divrei Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel Omer lehara oleitiv lahaba. So Rabbi Shmuel says no, lehara oleitiv is only going on the future. You're only eligible for a carbon olaviyorin on the future. So Rabbi Kiva now looks to trip up Rabbi Shmuel and asks him a very strong question. I don't understand. If you're looking at the pasuk and you want to just focus on the pasuk, the Torah only says you're chayv karban only when you're doing something which is of consequence, either lahara or leitiv. But you agree with me that a karban olaviyor is brought even if it's not consequential. So the Rabbi Kiva says to Rabbi Shmuel, how do you know that? Amalom Ribu Akasov. So Rabbi Shmuel says, because there's a ribui. So Rabbi Kiva says to Rabbi Shmuel, oh, you think there's a ribui, right? So Amalom Ribu Akasov Kach, Ribu Akasov Kach. So once you agree with me there's a ribui in the Torah, that the Torah is not just limited to this example, but there's an expansion package in the Psukim, so therefore it comes to include not only Lahara Leitiv, not only things of consequence and inconsequence, but also for the future and the past as well. And so Rabbi Kiva seems to be making a very strong statement and a very strong argument against Rabbi Shmuel. In fact, the Gemara after, now according to the Braisa, the Gemara basically jumps on board Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara says, Shapi Kamale, Rabbi Kiva or Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva said something very good to Rabbi Shmuel. How would he answer? I'm Rav Yochan, Rabbi Shmuel, Shishima, Shavrem, Nechuim, Ben Akana, Shai, Dorsh, is called a Torah, Kula, Bechol, Prat, Iunami, Dorsh, Bechol, Prat. So the Gemara says, so what's that core over here between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel? Is one of our most classic discussions that happens, and it happens to be that here in Shavuos we've been seeing a lot of this, and that is methodology. How do we darshan the Torah? So Rabbi Shmuel, who was a student of Rav Nechunya ben Akana, who learned the Torah al yidei klal prat. So Rabbi Shmuel also learns al yidei klal prat. It's funny, from our perspective, we always think that Rabbi Shmuel is like the founder of klal prat. Obviously, that's not true. In other words, these are methodologies go back to Torah Misinai. But in other words, but we have it credited towards Rabbi Shmuel. We think it's, you know, this is Rabbi Shmuel. It is, obviously, but the Gemara over here says, and he was the student of Rav Nechunya ben Akana, meaning Rav Nechunya ben Akana was like the Rebbe, so to say, of this style of learning. So Yonami Darsh Kalaprat. And Rabbi Kiva Shishima says Nachemish Gamzu, Shai Darsh Kalatara Kula Biribu Amiut, Yonami Darsh Ribu Amiut. Rabbi Kiva, who was the student of Nachemish Gamzu, so who learned the Torah through Ribu Amiut, so Rabbi Akiva adopted that kind of methodology of Ribu Amiut. So my Rabbi Kiva the Darsh Ribu Amiut to Detanya. So the Gemara now is going to take us step by step, looking at the same psukim, but in other words, depending on your methodology, whether you're Kala Prat or whether you're Ribu Amiut, so you're going to arrive at different conclusions. And as we already know what the conclusions are. It's just now a question of getting from the psukim to the conclusion. And so the Gemara spells it out. Nefesh kisi shava, riba, la rao leitev miit, l'chol asher yivate adam chazav riba. So the pasuk sets this up as a classic expansion, limitation, expansion. Now what's that expansion going to be? Well, it depends which way you're darshaning. So right now we're going to take the Rebbe Akiva path. A ribui miut to ribui. And now, ribu miyud riba riba kol. My riba riba kol miyud. So as the Gemara does every time it goes through this progression of what is expanded, what's limited, and then what's expanded again. So if you're working with the methodology of ribu miyud ribu, so you start with ribu riba hakol. It is a full expansion which covers any kind of shvua. Miye midvar mitzvah. Now what does miyud do? So as we've said already a number of times, but let's say it again. We get to chazer. When you're working with ribu and miut, miut now is not a limitation, a definition. All miut is just simply, it's shaving off a little bit on the ends. Meaning, we have the full expansion ribu, followed then by a miut. Miut just simply says, and we're going to knock something out. We're basically going to keep everything that's in the group, but we're going to knock something out. What are we knocking out? What's the first thing to go when it comes to a shvua? So the first thing to go is shvua levatos ha-mitzvah. Let's say I make a shvua that I'm not going to send the sukkah on sukkahs. Okay. In other words, now you and I know that, well, that's ridiculous, meaning that's a mitzvah in the Torah. Yeah, of course it's ridiculous, but without the miut, so here's what I would have accomplished with such a shvua. Meaning not only did I not get credit for singing the sukkah, but I also violated my shvua as well. So the miut is coming to tell me that that is not a shvua, and therefore not included in the parsha of shvuas. That is all according to Rebbe Akiva, who operates with Ribu Amir to Ribu. And so therefore, now comes along that last Ribu, and it wasn't coming to tell me that not only is the future Shavuot going to be valid and eligible to Karban Olav Yared, but the past Shavuot as well. Ad kan divrei Rebbe Akiva. Now Rebbe Shmuel, darish kol haprat. So now, according to Rabbi Shmuel, who darshens through the method of klal uprat, so what is klal uprat uklal? So as we said time and again, but we get to say it again. Klal uprat uklal means klal uprat, let's start with klal, that is obviously an expansion that includes everything, and then prat. Prat is not an example, but the definition. Meaning when the Torah gives the prat, when you're using klal uprat, prat now is the definition. So the Torah says making a shvuah, that's klal. And then the Torah says lahara leitiv. Meaning these are the only examples of a shvuah that's eligible to a karban olav yared. Either something for the future, which has consequence, either good or bad. Now, when the Torah gives a second klal, ein shebe klal elamash, other way around, right? Okay, the iata dan ela keina prat. Now it has to look a lot like the definition, because basically now all we're working with is just the definition of lahara leitiv. So even though that second klal is coming to provide a little more expansion, but it has to pattern itself after the definition, after what's in the middle of lahara leitiv. Ahani klal la asui afilu dvarim shein ba emara la v'atava. Lahaba. Ahani prat lamut afilu dvarim shein ba emara v'atava l'sha'avar. And so the Gemara now spells it out. So on one hand, we have the second klal, and the second klal says, yeah, a little bit of expansion. You know what that little bit of expansion is coming to do? Even if it's non-consequential. But at the same time, however, you know what the prat's coming to tell me? Only for the future, not for the past. Okay. So basically now, here's where we're at, that according to the Machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, really comes down to one of the more classic discussions that we have in the Gemara in terms of what is the methodology you choose to use. According to Rabbi Kiva, Ribu Imiud, so therefore it becomes more expansive. According to Rabbi Shmuel, who uses Klal Prat, less expansive. Now, Epochana, now on this last point the Gemara wants to know, for Rabbi Shmuel we have Klal Prat or Klal, which means that we're going to be a little bit expansive. Now, what do we mean when we say a little bit expansive? It's coming to cover even non-consequential shvuos, but still has to be for the future. The Gemara wants to know, why don't we do the following? Why don't we say that the second klal is coming to include past as to future, and what about the prat? The prat's telling me that it's only for consequential shvuos, not for inconsequential shvuos. Meaning, if we know that there's a klal and there's a prat, and there's an expansion and there's a limitation, the Torah doesn't say what we're expanding, the Torah doesn't say what we're limiting. So maybe the expansion is going on the past as to the future, and maybe the limitation is only for consequential shvuos. Epochana, boy, the Gemara says, why don't we flip it? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. It goes back to what we said in the beginning of the shiur today. If there is only one thing that's going to be expanded, meaning if the Torah says la ra leitiv, and it allows for just a little bit of expansion, we're going to keep it to the future. Why? Because moving it now to the past is so fundamentally different. Meaning a shvuah in the past, what is the isser? The isser is on the declaration itself, not on the action that's done after the declaration. Meaning the way the Gemara describes it over here is that it has to be something similar to bal yechal devaro. Bal yechal devaro means I make a neder, and then at a later point in time I violate my neder. I make a shvuah, at a later point in time I violate my shvuah. If I already did the action and then I'm making a declaration, yes, it's a shvuah, but it's so fundamentally different that if we're going to be marbe anything, we're going to limit it to the future, not to the past. Rav Yitzchak Bar Avin, Amakro, Nefesh Kisa Sheva, Leval Taibas Vasayim. Rav Yitzchak Bar Avin is coming to answer the same question. How do I know that the expansion is only going on the future, not in the past? So he just simply gleans it from the pasuk itself. The pasuk says, O Nefesh Kisa Sheva, Leval Taibas Vasayim, Mi shashvua kodemus lebitui. It has to be that the shvuah comes before the actual declaration, meaning bitui's declaration. So, order of operations in terms of making a shvuah: first bitui declaration, and then a violation of the bitui. Velosha bitui. I'm sorry, other way around. Shvua, sorry, Shvua is a declaration. I mean, B2 is also a declaration, but B2 in this context means a violation of the declaration. And that comes to exclude either I ate or I didn't eat, where there the action comes before the actual Shvua. So basically, you see it from the pasuk itself, that if that really the definition of a Shvua, or the violation of a Shvua, is first a declaration, and then afterwards a violation of the action of that declaration. Okay, halfway down in Chavav and Aleph, Tanur Rabbanan, it's the last words in the line. Okay, so where do we stand right now? So after a half of an Amud, we basically have, in a sentence, an understanding of the Machlok between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, whether or not we're going to include Shvuos of the past, and it comes down to whether or not you use Ribu and Miud, which is what Rabbi Kiva uses, versus Klal Prat, which is obviously what Rabbi Shmuel uses. Tanur Rabbanan and the Gemara now continues, quoting another Braisa. Ha Adam B'Shvua Prat La'anus. A person violated a shvua, which is coming to exclude the case of onis. Stay tuned, we'll explain what that means in just a moment. Ne'alam, prat l'mezid. Ne'alam means it can't be mezid. And mimenu, shenetam mimenu shvua, and mimenu means that what he forgot about is the shvua. Yachol shenetam mimenu chayfetz. What if he remembered the shvua but forgot about the item? Tamalam rebe shvua v'ne'alam. Al halam shvua, hu chayev, v'eno chayev al halam chayfetz. Only when he forgets about his shvua is he going to be chayv karbon olav yared, but not when he forgets about the item. Okay, so we just learned in quick succession three different halachas that are learned out in this braisa from the pasuk. The Gemara now goes on to explicate all three points. Amar, ha dam b'shvua prat lanus, hechidami. Gemara says, can you give me an example of ones where a person's an ones when making the shvua and therefore not going to be eligible to bring a karbon olav yared? So the Gemara gives now a really interesting example. Two Amorayim. And the two Amorayim are now having a debate in terms of what the Rebbe said. Now the Rebbe in this particular case is Rav. Rav was a Rebbe to both Rav Kahana and Rav Asi. And Kiyavu Kaimim Mekamad the Rav. They were both sitting in front of Rav, meaning learning in front of Rav. And then Mar Mashuval Sadachi Amarav, Mar Mashuval Sadachi Amarav. And I've seen this once or twice in my lifetime, where somebody's quoting a Rebbe or a Rav of theirs, and they say, this is what he said, and the other one says, no, of course you didn't hear correctly. This is what he said. And so now you have two students of one Rebbe who are both claiming that this is what he said. And they're not agreeing to one another. One of them is going to be wrong. And that's usually how it works. And sometimes, with a little bit of proper context, maybe both statements were true. But generally speaking, though, if what they're saying is one's black and the other one's saying white, I know I'm oversimplifying, but in other words, but one's going to be right, one's going to be wrong. So, ki asa l'kame d'rav amar k'chai minayim. So now, it happens to have been that they had this argument in the lifetime of Rav. So over here, in terms of clarification, it's very easy. They go back to Rav and they say to Rav, well, which one of us is right? And then Rav just simply identifies which one of them was right. Now, this particular example, we don't care. Meaning, it's not right now. Right now, the argument is not what interests us. What interests us is that both of them made a shvua to the fact that they were right. So now, one of their shvuas was correct, and one of them who made a shvua was incorrect. And so now, one person turns to, the Talmud who was not right, turns to Rav and says to Rav, so I made a shvua sheker. Am I going to be chayev? Amrlei libcha anasecha. And Rav says, no. Rashi, I'm reading the Rashi inside, kisavar hayisa lishava be'emes. No, because when you were espousing your viewpoint and swearing to that viewpoint, so you thought you were right. So this is not an example of a shvua sheker. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Because keep in mind, our Gemara and our discussion is only really super limited, and really it's a very detail-oriented question of, are you eligible to bring a carbon olav yared, or are you not eligible to bring a carbon olav yared? We're not discussing in our Gemara whether or not it's good, it's bad, it's usser or it's not usser. We're just talking about eligibility for a carbon. So it's so interesting that what the Gemara is doing is giving this as an example of anus, when meanwhile, here by the students of Rav, obviously there's no carbon, there's no base of mikdash, There's no discussion of whether are you going to bring a carbon olav yared or you're not going to bring a carbon olav yared. They're just using this as an example of what is an ones. Masha Ein Kein, our discussion, of course, in our Gemara is really when and when you're not eligible for a carbon olav yared.
Isn't this issue with the Avi? They're talking about the fact that observed. Isn't an object?
No, Shua Zaydus is on
action that they're swearing.
Shua Zaydus is on a monetary case.
What are they swearing on?
They're swearing on what Rebbe said, on what the Rav
what
said.
What category does that fall into?
So it's sheker. Meaning one of them is telling the truth and one of them is not telling
but
the truth.
Testimony to an observation that they made.
I know you're using the word testimony. I'm telling you, we'll see you later on in the Masechta, Shavuos Eidos is only when it comes to money. Okay, you'll see. It's coming up.
This is
L'Shavar.
How can you have one that's L'Havu?
Okay, that's a good question. Give me a little bit of time. I'll think about it. I'll come on. In other words, the example the Gemara is giving on is on Shavar, it's on the past. So is there a case of onus for the future? So I'm convinced there is, but I'll think about it a little bit more. Okay, Libcha Nazcha. Okay, next part of the Brisa. Okay, so we just as I pointed out, we're using this as an example, but just as an example to explain what is onus. Ne'ala mimenu. Shenis ala mimenu shvua. So the next drasha of the Brisa is that in order to qualify, to bring a carbon olav yared, what did you have to forget about? You had to have forgotten about your shvua. Not about the item. Okay, the Gemara just simply went over the Brisa again. Now, the discussion of the Gemara. Now, keep in mind, here's what we're saying. I say I was going to eat the cookie. I'm sorry for just being so focused on the cookie. I said I was going to eat the cookie. And then what happens? Let's go the other way. It works either way. But I say I wasn't going to eat the cookie. And now what happens is that I pick the cookie up, and now I totally forgot about my shvua. I forgot. Helam shvua. And I eat the cookie. That case is easy to describe. I just did. What about now what the Bryce is teaching us? Helam chefetz. I forgot about the item. What? Okay, right? What does that mean? Meaning I'm totally reminding myself constantly, no, I'm not allowed to eat cookies. I'm not allowed to eat cookies. And then I pick something up. I forgot about the item. Under those circumstances, I don't bring a carbon olav yared. What does that mean, I forgot about the item? What does that even mean? And when they heard this Bryce in Eretz Yisrael, they're like, what does that mean? What is it? And machachu Allah b'marava. In Eretz Yisrael, when they were hearing this brisa, they, for lack of better definition, they ridiculed the brisa. Meaning, they simply didn't understand it. When I say didn't understand it, meaning they didn't think it was right. They didn't think that the brisa, they didn't think it was a good brisa. We've seen countless examples throughout Shas where Amoraim hear brisas and they're like, poke to Nibra, take that brisa outside. Right? That brisa is not a definitive brisa. It's not something that it's accepted in the base medrash. So in Eretz Yisrael, they heard this brisa. They simply don't understand what's going on over here. Bishlam shvur mishkach la belo chefetz kagon tam shvur shlocha paskita vekasav shochel kamar dishvur se inshe chefetz dekir. So as I said, the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael can easily understand a case where it's helam shvua, where I'm fully aware of the item. Right, chevtsa dekir. I remember the item, but shu'an se inshi. But I forgot about my shvua. That's easy. But elachef it's below shvua echidami. Kagon. The Gemara tries to give an example. How about this? The amr shvur shal ochel pas chitim. Person made a shvua that he wasn't going to eat wheat bread. Vikasav shal se'arim kamar. Now, as he's remembering his shvua, he's misremembering his shvua. He thought that he said wheat. But then as he's remembering his shvua, he's like, oh yeah, right, I made the shvua, I was going to eat barley bread. And the shvua sa dakir le, chevtze inche. And now he remembers the shvua, but he doesn't remember the chevetz. Kevin de chevtze inche lehu, haino halam shvua. But the Gemara says, but again, what's the failure? The failure is the misremembering. Is that halam chevetz? That's not halam chevetz. That's halam shvua. He misremembered his shvua. So really, the failure is not on the item, the failure is on the shvua. This is just but another example of halam shvua. So in Eretz Yisrael, they're just, what is the case of halam chefetz? What are we talking about? Ela amar Rabbi Lazar David Achasi. So Rabbi Lazar and Amora in Eretz Yisrael said, it's all one and the same, these are all halam shvuas, there's no such thing as halam chefetz, and as far as the Brisa is concerned, okay, We don't accept the brisa. Again, Amoraim can do that. We can't. But in other words, Amoraim had that ability to do that. Okay, so that's Rebbe Lazar. So Maskev la Rav Yosef. So now we turn back to Bavel. Obviously in Bavel, not obviously, but in Bavel, they accept the brisa. And they're going to say now pshat in the brisa. Maskev Rav Yosef amachiv it's below shvuah la mishkach alav amishkach alakigon. So this is now Rav Yosef's example of Helam Chafetz. Kigon da'ama shavuah shalo ochel pas chitin. A person made a shavuah that he wasn't going to eat wheat bread. He takes his hand, he puts it into the bread basket. V'hoshiyad l'asal litol pas orim. Now he's reaching for barley bread, because he's totally aware of his shavuah, and he knows that he is, I'm saying this, you know, as a hamlatza, just as a, he's allergic to wheat bread, allergic, meaning, he made a shvuah that he wasn't going to eat wheat bread. So he puts his hand now in. And he's reaching for barley bread. And now he takes out a bread thinking it's barley bread. And meanwhile, it's wheat bread. One second. And now in his mind, he thinks it's barley bread because that's what he went to reach for. And he ate it. So here, let's go over now. Let's take out the scorecard. Shvuasa dekirle. Did he remember his shvuah? Check. He did. What he didn't know is that what he had in his hand was not wheat bread. Was not barley bread, but it was in fact wheat bread. So he remembered his shvuah, but he didn't remember. I know that's not the best way to describe it. But in other words, we're looking for a case of Helam Chafetz. He didn't remember, he wasn't aware, it's better. He wasn't aware of the bread that was in his hand. So Amalei Abaye, Klimichayv Tilei Karbon Allah, Amai Detafis Biadei, Helam Shvuahi. Now, Abai says to Rav Yosef, okay, but when all said and done, you tapped him on the shoulder and you said to him, you know what you have in your hand? And he looks at it carefully and he's like, oh, you're right. In other words, it's true that the halam is on the chafetz, but when all said and done, it goes back to the shvuah that he made. Lishna achrina, or another way that Abai says it, Amarle Abai le Rav Yosef, sof, karma de kamaisi Allah, dai pas, mias helam shvuahu. Look, you're going to bring the carbon because he ate the wrong bread. But it's really all said and done, it's a violation of the shvuah. Meaning because he knew that he made a shvuah on wheat bread. He just wasn't aware that what he was holding in his hand was wheat bread. But if you just simply point out to him, hey, that's wheat, then he'll say, oh yeah, you're right, my shvuah. So in other words, Abaye says to Rav Yosef, it still can be all pointing back at the shvuah, not at the item. Rav Yosef Amalacha. Now Rav Yosef's counter would be like this. No. In other words, by virtue of the fact that all you need to do is remind him that it's wheat bread, so then he'll say, oh, wheat bread, right. I can't have that. I made a shua against that. So in other words, Rav Yosef still maintains that this is a case of Helam Chafetz, not a case of Helam Shua. Okay.
Why is this not a case of Mitasek?
No, what do you mean, Misasek? Misasek.
He was going to get one item by accident. He picked out the other item unaware that, you know.
The example that we gave just a short couple days ago, Misasek, is very similar to this. But in other words, okay. But in other words, it's the action itself. There's nothing wrong with the action for itself. It's just that the action is going against his shvuah. And again, if you just simply remind him, well, your shvuah, so he said, yeah, I know about my shvuah. I said I wasn't going to eat wheat bread, and look what I have here. And then he's like, oh, you're right, it's wheat. But it's on it's a show gig on what he's taking versus what he said. Okay, so when all said and done, where do we stand right now? The Brisa says that you're only chayav a karban olav yared for helam shvuah, not for helam chafetz. And Eretz Yisrael, they just didn't even understand what the Brisa was talking about. What does that mean, Helam Chafetz? They don't understand it. Rabbi Lazar feels that if you took something in your hand and you thought it was something else, ultimately it's Helam Shvuah. And in Bavel, they kept the Brisa. Rav Yosef said Pshan the Brisa. And even in Bavel, you saw that there wasn't full agreement. Abai also didn't like this as being an example of Helam Chafetz. Okay, by Minei Rav and Rav Nachman. Helam Zev Zeb Yadamahu. Okay, this should sound familiar. This is a repeat of a Gemara's discussion that it had earlier. We had this back on Daf Yates. So literally a week ago today, we said over the same exact Gemara. Here's what we now know. That you only have a carbon olive yared for halam shvuah, not for halam chafetz. So for Helam Shvua, Chayv a carbon. For Helam Chayfitz, not Chayv a carbon. Right? Let's assume like Rav Yosef. The Bryce is correct. There's such a thing as Helam Chayfitz. So now, what if your Halama was on both? Meaning, A, you forgot about your Shvua, and B, you forgot about what you're holding in your hand. Right? You weren't aware of what you're holding in your hand. So you are really in, you're in a cloud right now. You're not conscientious right now. And okay, so now, what are we going to say about a carbon olav yored? Because on one hand, you were halam shvua, on the other hand, you were also halam chayfetz. So one halama results in a chiv carbon, and another halama results in a patur carbon. And so now when you have both halamas, so what do we say then? Same discussion we had just a week ago. So Adar Abba Hare Helam Chayfetz biyado patur. So the Gemara says, I see both sides of this. So Am Rav Ashi Chazin and Imach Meshuah Kaparish Hare Helam Shuah biyado v'chayev. Imach Mes Chayfetz Kaparish Hare Helam Chayfetz biyado patur. So Rav Ashi seems to be giving a practical suggestion of how to untangle this. Tap him on the shoulder and remind him, hey, that's wheat bread. He's like, okay, good, that's wheat bread. Yeah, good. And he eats it. So clearly now, he now knows what the bread is. Clearly the halama is on the fact that he forgot he made a shvua. Or you say to him, you tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, didn't you make a shvua? Yeah, right, I did make a shvua. But my shvua was on wheat bread. And then he goes and eats it. Clearly the halama is on the object, not on his shvua. So Rav Ashi simply says, let's see which halama is really the stronger halama. So Amalei Rav Inla, Rav Ashi, klum parish mishvua ala mishum chefetz, klum parish chefetz ala mishum shvua ala lo shna. Rav Ashi says it's not that easy to untangle. Meaning, if he forgot about both, so forgetting about both now means I don't know which one is really the cause, the root cause of what is stopping him from eating it. Was it that he forgot about the shvua? Was it he forgot about the item? And so, therefore, loshna. So Rav Ashi, I'm sorry, Ravina says to Rav Ashi, he feels that it really doesn't make a difference. Bamine Rav Amir Rav Nachman, top of Chavav Amud Beis. Ezu Shigiga Shvua, Bitui Lesha'avai. Okay, here we go. I foreshadowed this question at the beginning of this year today, but now we get to sit on this question for just a little bit. Having a halama on the future is easy to understand. Because halama just simply means I wasn't aware. I forgot. So when you're making a shvua, that I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread, and then at a later point in time you ate the loaf of bread, having totally forgotten about your shvua, that's an excellent example of halama. You forgot about your shvua. This is a case of shogig. It's not mazid because you didn't deliberately violate your shvua. It's not ones because no one's forcing you. It is all based on the fact that you forgot. And as we've said time and again, forgetting is not good. Meaning if you made a shvua, you really are responsible for remembering your shvua. That's the responsibility of making a shvua. By virtue of the fact that you forgot, that's not a good thing. The Torah allows now you to bring a karban to be mechaper for the fact that you forgot. That's easy. It's easy to understand shogig as it relates to the future. Now let's turn our attention to the past. You already did the action. You ate the loaf of bread, you didn't eat the loaf of bread. And now you're making a shvua. And what you're saying is not truthful. It's a lie. What you're saying is now the opposite of what you did. What exactly is the case of shogig over here? If what you're thinking now is that I really did eat the loaf of bread, what's that a category of? It's onis. If you know you're lying, that's mazid. Where's the shogeg? Gemara's question. Ezu shigashvua bitu l'shavar. Idi yada mazidu. Idi lo yada anusu. Your two options really seem to be either mazid or ones. And really, obviously, the question here is on Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva says that through a ribui, we actually know that there's a carbon olav yored not only on the future, but on the past as well. But what's the case? What would be a case where he made a shvua on something that happened historically, of something he either did or didn't do, which isn't either an ones, or it's neither a mazid? What's the case? So Amalei ba'omer yodei ani sheshvua zeh asura, aval eino yodeim chayav ala karban olav. So the Gemara gives a really interesting example. It's really, honestly, the only example. It's unusual. But in other words, we're saying now like this. I know that I didn't eat it. I even know that I'm lying. So what's the shogig? The shogig was, I didn't know the repercussions. Meaning, I forgot that for making such a shvua, I would be chayv a karbon. Okay. Now this is interesting. Meaning, we certainly know that shogig means you forgot about something. But generally speaking, you know what they're forgetting is going on? The violation of the Torah. The fact that what I'm doing is wrong. That's generally speaking how we understand shogeg. Meaning there's a piece of chalev in front of you. Shogeg, I forgot that the Torah says it. Or shogeg, I forgot that this is a piece of chalev. But in other words, it's going on the action of the iser. Here, I know what I'm doing is wrong. I just didn't remember what the Torah, the consequences of the Torah. Does that fall under the category of shogeg? So as we learned elsewhere throughout Shas, machlokas. And the general consensus is, that's not a case of shogeg. Over here, the Gemara now is arguing this is the case of shogeg for shvur she'avar. So the Gemara says, keman. So the Gemara says, interesting. So now you're telling me that the case is where you're shogeg on the karban. You forgot about the karban. So keman, kemunbaz. The amar shigas karban shma shigaga. Now you're telling me that we're going like munbaz. Munbaz in the name of a tana, I should say. That we don't, quite frankly, don't hear that often. But in other words, he's of the opinion that forgetting about the carbon is called shogeg. But that's shitas hayachid. That is not the consensus opinion. And now you're explaining our scenario using a shitas hayachid. It's basically strange. So, afilutem rabbanan. So the Gemara says no. In this scenario, this is not just a shita of munbaz, this is everybody. Because ad kan lo peliga rabbanan la de munbaz, la bechol ha-torah kula de lav chidishu, avachach de chidishu, de bechol ha-torah kula shkachan lav de maisi karban, di alfinu me avod azara. Vahacha maisi afilu rabbanan modu. And here basically is what the Gemara is saying. Look, in general, do you know why the Chachamim argue with munbaz? Because, consider, normally, when do you chayv a karban chatas? When the iser is an iser kares. Something like avodah zarah. Something like chalev. So in other words, to say now that I forgot about the karban, when it's a quote-unquote classic chata scenario, that's not a shogeg. Meaning it's an iser kares. These are the very serious iserim of the Torah. To simply say, well, I forgot about the karban, Chachamim's point is, that's not really, you can't call that shogeg. But over here, we're talking about a shvur sheker. Even if done intentionally and deliberately, what's the onish? It's a lav.
There's no hatra here.
Again, we're talking about a carbon right now.
No, but before he does that,
we're talking about a carbon. For carbon, there's no hatra. So over here, if done intentionally, it's a lav. So and yet in this most unusual scenario where even though the intentional violation only results in a lav, the unintentional violation, or I should say better, the shogeg violation is still going to result in basically a karban chatas. Again, I know it's a special karban chatas, it's olah v'yoreid, but it's a karban chatas. So this is most unusual. So therefore, what the Chachamim are saying in this particular case is, we agree with Munbaz, that if what you're forgetting over here is about the consequence in this case, because it's so unusual, that does qualify as shogeg, and therefore you would be chayv a karban. Okay. By mine ravina me rava. Nishma kikar umistakin alaha mahu. So the Gemara says, let's say a person made a shvur that he's not going to eat this loaf of bread, and then sakana's tefoshos. Whatever, for whatever reason, the doctor ordered, hey, you want to live? You eat that loaf of bread. So the Gemara says, mistakin lishur lamar. So the Gemara says, what are you asking me? Oh, it's mutter. Pekuach nefesh, of course. What are we even discussing? Elamitstarva achla b'shigiga shvua mai. So the Gemara says, okay, very good. So the Gemara says, let's say it's not sakanas nefashos, but it's mitzar. Right now he's in great pain, and pain over here just simply means, Rashi explains, hunger pain. Right? In other words, so he's good and hungry. And now, he's so hungry, he ate the loaf of bread, but as Rashi points out over here, and as we'll see pretty clearly from the Gemara, he would have eaten the loaf of bread even if he remembered the Shavuot. He's right now. Now we can't say he's deathly hungry because then we're back to the previous point of the Gemara. Then it's the kind of nefashos and l'shrei lanmar, and the Torah permits it. But over here, just simply, he hasn't eaten in a while, and he's just good and hungry. So he forgot about his shvuah, but quite frankly, says the Gemara, he would have eaten it anyway. Amrle tanina. The Gemara says there we know what the halacha is. When do you bring a carbon chatas? The rule is really simple. If right before you do the avera, someone reminds you, hey, it's Shabbos, or hey, the Torah asks it. And you're like, oh, thank you so much. So then and only then, meaning no one was there to tap you on the shoulder. But if you would have stopped, so then you bring a carbon chatas. But if somebody taps you on the shoulder and reminds you, hey, Shabbos, and you say, oh, thank you very much, I appreciate you reminding me, and then you do it anyway, that's not shogeg, and that's not eligible for a carbon. Here too, if you're really hungry, and you would have eaten it anyway, it happens to be that you forgot about your shvuah, it doesn't matter. In other words, you're not going to bring a carbon chatos, or in this case, a carbon olaviyah, right? Because you're not shav miyadiyaso. Knowledge wouldn't have stopped you from doing it anyway. That's not, you're not eligible to bring a carbon. Gemara now is going to say over halacha, which is going to finish today's daf, and seemingly is really obvious and really logical, and the Gemara is going to have a discussion about it, an interesting discussion. Let's say you have the shvuah now formulated in your mind, clear, but you didn't articulate it yet. Shmuel tells us it's not a shvuah. In other words, it's not going to be shvuah until the point of articulation. You got to say it. So the Braisa says, okay, I know you have to articulate, but what have you thought about it? So the Gemara says, oh, that's included. And how do I know that's included? Because the Torah says, because of articulation. Now the Gemara says, I'm so confused now. Hagufa kasha. I'm good and confused. So Amart Bisvasaim Vlobelev, Adam Argama Beliba Minayin. So first the Braisa opens up with, you gotta articulate it. Then the Braisa says, and how do I know to even include Gamar Beliba? Well, Gamar Beliba means even prior to the point of articulation. I'm Rav Sheshet Halokashi, Achi Kamar. So Rav Sheshet says, here's how we're saying Pshat in the Braisa. Bisvasaim Veloshe Gamar Beliba. Lahotzi Bisvasav, Velohotzi, Gamar Belibo Stam Minayin, Tamalam Lachoshe Yivate. So the Gemara says, the Rav Sheshet says as follows, that if you articulated, but you didn't conclude in your heart that this is what's going to come out, in other words, you spoke first without thinking. It happens. So v'lo shagamar b'libo lahotzi b'sfasav, v'lo hotzi gamar b'libo stam minayin. But what if you were gamar b'libo? How do I know to include that as well? Tamalam l'chol asher yivate. L'chol asher is coming to include even gamar belibo. So, in other words, basically, according to Rav Sheshet, Pshat the Braisa is, if you spoke first without thinking, that doesn't count. If you thought, and you concluded a thought, that counts towards a shvuah. And not only is your question good, it's also not Shmuel. I think Shmuel clearly disagrees with this. Dvarim Shabalev. Right, correct. Elo Shmuel Kasha. So Amar Sheshes treats ve'ima hachi. So the Gemara says, okay. And the Gemara says, and it's not going like Shmuel. Shmuel says, in order to be bound by Shvuah, there needs to be articulation. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to go back to the Braisa, and we're now going to say another Pshat on the Braisa. So ima hachi. Bisva sign veloshigama belibo. Lotzi paschitim. I'm sorry, veloshigama belibo. So it has to be articulation, and not just something he said in his heart. Lahotzi, and it excludes now the following case. Paschitim vahotzi pasaorim. Gamar belibo lahotzi paschitim vahotzi pastam. Now, oh, I'm sorry. The first example is where, let's say, in his mind he said wheat bread, in his mind. And then the words that came out of his mouth is barley bread. There wasn't an agreement of mind and mouth. So that doesn't qualify as a shvuah. Now, obviously, we have to, in other words, if he says, oh, I know that's what I said, but that's not what I meant, you know, you have to trust him. Meaning, obviously, everything you say is really a reflection of what you're thinking. So if you then, I don't know if there's a statute of limitations, but in other words, but if you say, I know I said that, but that's not what I meant, okay, it's not. In other words, if there's no agreement between his word and his thought, so that doesn't qualify. However, Gamar beliba, I'm sorry, Velosh Gamar beliba paschitim, Velotzi pasarim, Gamar beliba laotzi paschitim, Velotzi pastam, minayin. Now, what if, let's say, what he was thinking was, no more wheat for me. So, in other words, I'm not going to have any more bread made out of wheat. But what does he then say? What words come out of his mouth? The word bread. Minayin. So, how do I know? Tamalam lechol asher yivatei ha'adam. So for that, lechol asher yivatei ha'adam. So it includes your thoughts. So in other words, under these circumstances, what you're saying is not negating what you thought. What you thought is actually slightly amending that which you said. But when I say amending, it's not correcting, just limiting, refining. Under those circumstances, then we could take the thought and the word and put them together in order to make a shvuah. Under those circumstances, limited as they may be, do we say then that the thought counts? But the thought counts only to refine and define what your articulation was, assuming that there's no disagreement. If, like in the previous case, there was disagreement, where you thought barley bread, and for whatever reason you said wheat bread, so then your thought obviously is going to get discounted. Meisve. Motzi tzvasecha tishmor vasisi, vasisa. Ein le'al ha'shosi b'tzvasav. Gamar b'liba minayin. Here in this brisa, the brisa says, how do I know even a thought? Tamalamer kol nediv lev. So the Gemara says, kol nediv lev. So what do we see over here? That a person has a thought. Now, a thought over here is in what context? The context over here is regarding a thought that you're going to bring a karban, a neder or a nedava. And what we're now saying is that as long as you had a thought to bring a karban, that now requires you to bring a karban. Hasam dichsiv called nediv leiv. So the Gemara says, okay, I agree with you. But the Torah says nediv leiv. V'nigmar minah. So the Gemara says, okay, so why don't we say from there, that creates now a big enough. Mishum davi shuba v'kachum shneksuvam abayim ke'echad. Shneksuvam abayim ke'echad eim alamdim. So the Gemara says there are two times where we have this idea that a nediv leiv, that just a machshava will result in an obligation. One is neder nedava, like we just spoke out, and the other one is truma. Truma is regarding what? Rashi over here writes, the last Rashi on the Amud, Truma's malachas ha-mishkan k'siv ba kol nediv leiv eviyu. V'gabi kashim k'siv b'chizkiyal b'sifr divrayamim kol nediv leiv olos. So Rashi over here says, basically, contribution towards the Beis HaMikdash. Either monetary contributions to the Beis HaMikdash or carbon contributions to the Beis HaMikdash. That's how Rashi says it. See Tosos, doesn't say exactly the same shot. Anyway, under these circumstances, when you're thinking about making such a contribution, albeit carbon or money, to the Beis HaMikdash, nediv leiv. Just a thought of doing so is going to bind you. However, when it comes to any other area in the Torah, you need articulation. And this is based on the principle of shnei ksuvim. When you have shnei ksuvim, eim alamdim. Meaning, if the Torah wanted to make this a precedent, the Torah would have just said it one time. If the Torah says it twice, they're no longer the precedent, but rather they're the exceptions. Now, elamad amram alamdim michael amemar. Now, the Gemara says there is an opinion throughout Shas that even for two psukim, it does create a big enough. So, havichulim v'kachim, v'chulim v'kachim lo gamrinan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but still, even here, we're not going to learn. Because the examples that are given are kachim. Meaning, I'll say the Gemara like Rashi, either a karban or a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. In either way, it's hektish. It's something that has to do with the Beis HaMikdash. So under those circumstances, you could say that a thought is significant. But when it comes to chulin, like a regular shvua, like we've been discussing, a shvua not to eat a loaf of bread, a shvua to eat a loaf of bread, or any of the examples that we've given, so those are chulin, and chulin mikachim lo gamrin, and we don't learn out chulin from kachin. Okay, let's quickly recap the daf today. Started off the machlok between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, whether or not there's a karban ola v'yared on lisha avar. Rabbi Kiva says yes, Rabbi Shmuel says no. It's really predicated on the classic question of how to darshan the Torah. Rabbi Akiva, ribu emiut, Rabbi Shmuel, klal prat, uklal. A braisa in the middle of Chavavam and Aleph teaches us various halachas about halama. What is a halama? Halama is going on what specifically? Halam shvua versus halam chefetz. The Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael and Bavel deliberate whether there's such a thing as halam chefetz. The Amoraim and Eretz Yisrael reject the idea out of hand. Amoraim and Bavel, some of the Amoraim and Bavel accepted. We discussed this morning what exactly is a case of a shogeg and a shvua sha'avar. Shvua lahaba, very easy to understand the case of shogeg. You forgot about your shvua. What about, what is sha'avar? It's either going to be mazid or it's going to be ones. What's the example of shogeg? So a really limited scenario where the shogeg was, you remember that what you're saying is false, but you forgot about the consequence of a carbon. Normally, that is only shitas munbaz, which we don't accept. But in this regard, because this is such an exceptional halacha, you're bringing a carbon only on a chai ve'lav, not an iser kares. So this is so exceptional, even the chachamim would agree. And finally, the last discussion is that when are you bound by a shvua? Only at the point of articulation. So says Shmuel. We seemingly have a couple of brises that disagree with that, and the Gemara explained how to explain the brises. And in other areas of halacha, notably by carbon and by trumas based on mikdash, so we do say a machshav is significant, but that's only legabi kachim, not by chulin.